I'm calling the 102nd meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council to order. I'm doing it slowly because I'm waiting for Kurt to come flying down the hall.
He's got to say, "I'm Jake Flynn."
So if you wouldn't mind calling the roll, please.
Jarrett Walstead?
Here.
Tracy Carluccio? Bill Cogger?
Here.
Michael Francis?
Here.
Robert Holtaway?
Here.
Janice Kovach?
Yes.
Mimi Letts?
Here.
Carl Richko?
Here.
Glenn Vitrano? James Vizioli?
Here.
Jack Schroeder?
Present. Would you all kind of stand and join me in a pledge of allegiance to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Have Chris over here for a second. Just the note that this meeting is held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. Notices were published in where?
Our newspaper's record.
Thank you, Tom. Okay. We have before us for consideration the minutes of the meeting of January 20th, 2011. We'll have an opportunity to review the minutes. And if so, is there a motion on that?
So make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Jimmy, please. Okay. Let's do a roll call on the minutes.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yep.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Kovach?
Yes.
Councilmember Letts?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Acting Chairman Schroeder?
Yes, thank you. We're down to, for this meeting, 9 members. We have been holding steady at more or less that number for a long while now. And the last word that I had, unless Eileen had something new that you learned through the pipeline or grapevine, was that there are no nominations that are being acted on this week.
To the best of our knowledge, nothing this week. When the next Senate Judiciary Committee is up, perhaps at that point.
But all the previous nominees whose nominations had expired for lack of action have been resubmitted. And so we're just awaiting that.
Yes.
So it's, and I mention that because it's critically important that we have the members here who are here, because we need, under the Act, as you know, we need a majority of all the members, 15, in order to take any action on anything, including adopting the minutes or approving the minutes. So having a minimum of 8 members is critically important. And I compliment the members who are here and who have continued to come under these circumstances, understanding the restraints that we're under, particularly since we have been in the implementation phase of the regional master plan. All of those meetings, we've spoken of this before, that took place in the first 4 years or so, where we had such vigorous debates on sometimes arcane issues, but important issues in the ultimate putting together of the regional master plan. Those meetings are essentially behind us, and we are implementing the regional master plan, and bringing towns into conformance who want to be in conformance or who are required to be in conformance. And so I'm very pleased that I have my great colleagues here today. I thank you all for paying attention to this issue. And we'll move from there to the Executive Director's Report. Eileen, are you prepared?
I am indeed. Okay, I'm going to give you a quick update on plan conformance, where we are to date. Of the 64 petitions that have been submitted, 59 are from municipalities, 5 are from the counties. Of these, 51 have been deemed administratively complete and are available for anyone to see on our website, and that includes 2 counties. We have to date, the council has to date approved 14 petitions. The townships are Bethlehem, Byron, Chester, Denville, Green, Mawa, and Mount Olive. The boroughs are Califon, Glengardner, Hampton, Highbridge and Lebanon, and the towns Clinton and then Passaic County. At today's meeting, you will be considering petitions from three municipalities, Rockaway Township, Tewksbury Township and West Milford. Municipal response period is underway for seven different townships. You know that once we've gone through the documents that they've submitted, it's very detailed work that the municipalities go through with us. Once we've given the documents back to them, having reviewed them, it goes into a municipal response period. Franklin, Holland, Precipiny Troy Hills, Washington of Morris, and the boroughs of Kinlan and Bloomingdale are currently in that phase. There are 13 additional draft consistency reports that are prepared and under internal review. Once they go out, those municipalities will then go into that municipal response period. Another 11 consistency reports are under development by staff currently. So you can see, as Jack pointed out, that we are moving ahead with the implementation. This map shows you sort of the growing stages of our implementation. And you can see on the map here, the green shows you the preservation area where you have all the petitions in. The yellow is the planning area where you have petitions. Please note that some of these other areas not coloured are still working with us under a notice of intent but have yet not submitted petitions. Neither do they have to because they are in the planning area where it is voluntary. Only one preservation area municipality has not submitted their petition. The blue show you that they have gone through the conformance process, the approval process of their petition with you. The lighter blue denoting planning area, the darker preservation. And we update that to show you the actions at your last meeting. Of course, all your actions go through the governor review period. That being done, the map currently looks like this. Showing you that some of those that you are reviewing today, if you approve them and after the governor's review period, this is what the map would look like. So you can see that there's considerable growth in both preservation area and in the planning area. And of course, you are aware that some planning area only municipalities also chose to conform. Also, just keeping you up to date on the grants, you can see the averages for each of the base amounts and the total of 50,000 for this plan conformance petitions and the grant period. Here you see the numbers that we're looking at, so you can see that, and you know, the different unique circumstances, which is why you allow for an up to $100,000 grant for these purposes. Quickly give you a TDR program update because we've made a lot of progress. We are currently in the third round of the Highlands Development Credit acquisition consideration, thanks to the Highlands Development Credit Bank, which met on. Which next meeting will be on April 7th. But they, in their new round, the current round, they added two new categories. You were aware that we were looking at the hardship and the exemption number 3. The new categories include parcels of land that received exemption number 3, but that exemption has since expired. We had an applicant like that. The board then chose to include that in the third round. Also, those property owners that have land in the special environmental zone lands, which if you recall, the Act said we have to designate an area where, according to the Act, no development shall occur. So looking at those owners of those lands and also the high-value agricultural priority lands, if those property owners have offered their lands for preservation purposes since August 10th, 2004, but their property did not qualify for the preservation program administered by a public entity, so that would include the counties as well as SADC and Green Acres, they are now eligible for this program. Applications will be accepted through February 24th. We say that so that the public will be aware of it. We have sent out over 250 individual letters to those property owners to make them aware and encourage them. As a result of that, we received over 30 calls from those that were further interested in getting some more information, and to date, 11 applications. So we're moving on with that third round. The status of the second round applications, we did receive the Highlands Development Credit Bank authorized the staff to make offers on 4 properties. 3 of those offers have been accepted. The 4th is pending because the landowner is also speaking with Green Acres. So we've given that landowner an extension of time for consideration to enable them to work through Green Acres or indeed come back to us. In total, the Highlands Development Credit Bank has offered to acquire 54.5 Highlands Development Credits under this round, valued at $872,000. If all offers are accepted and close, another 83 acres in the preservation area will be permanently protected under this program. So that brings you up to date on TDR and brings you to the first resolution on West Milford.
When is the next TDR bank meeting? Is it
April 7th.
Okay, West Milford.
You have a...
Before we start, I made a mistake at the beginning of the meeting. I neglected to ask any council members if you had any comments or reports to give. Nothing lost. You ventured. Thank you.
The first municipality whose petition you are considering today, and you have a resolution before you, is for the Township of West Milford. We have the Planning Board Chair with us today, Andrew Logano. He just stepped out, but he is with us. I did want to advise you that Mayor Beery, I think you're all very well aware, has worked extremely closely with the Highlands Council. She's appeared at many of your meetings. She has been a great voice for her municipality. She's talked often about the need for assistance when it comes to municipal projects, particularly for those municipalities that are either entirely or partially in the preservation area. She has been a champion of that cause, and in fact the Highlands Council did work with her, if you recall, on a redevelopment area designation for her municipality in order to allow them to have a larger municipal library. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. The Mayor would have been with us today, but unfortunately her daughter had a very bad car accident a couple of weeks ago, and she hasn't left her daughter's bedside since then. Her daughter's 22 years of age and sustained major brain injury in the accident. So the Mayor knows that our thoughts are with her today, and we've been in communication since the accident. But other than that, she would have been with us here today. So we're going to continue on and hear the resolution. And she knows that we're doing this today, and she's communicated with Andy in advance. And Planning Board Chair is now with us in the room. And the Chair will afford you the opportunity to speak after we explain the petition. Did also want to let you know that Chair suggested to me before the meeting that we will have the customary photographic opportunities today and with the Planning Board Chair Andy, but that we'd be delighted to have the Mayor back at a later stage for that opportunity. Okay, moving forward, will I make the presentation, Jack?
Sure, yes, please.
Okay. Oh, yes, Tom had one announcement he wished to make.
I just want to let the Chair know and the Council members know that there is a legal analysis done with respect to Carl Richfield's participation. As you may know, he was mayor of West Milford some 16 years ago. And so we did a neat legal analysis of whether there was a conflict of interest. As you remember, the State Ethics Commission provided us with an analysis, but they differentiated between public members and elected official members. Janice had a conflict because she was previously and was appointed as an elected official member. Carl Richko was appointed as a public member, so it alters the analysis. So we did a complete conflicts analysis, and he is eligible to participate in these proceedings.
First time anyone has said I'm legal.
So as is customary, we start our presentation with a look at West Milford so you can familiarize yourself with the very beautiful municipality in the northern region, northern area of the Highlands region. So here you see some pictures of Echo Lake, Long Pond Iron Works State Park, and the Abrams Hewitt State Forest. West Milford, some information about it, was incorporated in 1834. Last census data shows a population of approximately 27,746 people. It is an extremely large municipality with 81 square miles. Preserved lands, you'll see 33,378 acres. When we show you the maps, you will see the great wealth of preserved lands in West Milford and the incredible value it lends to the state because of the water resources that it protects and supplies to various reservoirs, which contribute to 3 million people's drinking waters. You see considerable wetlands there with over 5,000 acres, a total forest of 40,390 acres, and only about 347 acres in farmland. And the picture there is the municipal complex, which is right where you designated that Highlands redevelopment area for the building of the new public library. And the planning board chair has asked the Highlands Council continue to assist them with that project, as they are experiencing, as he put it to me today, some difficulties in moving it. So we'll be very glad to continue to assist. If you recall, they're in the second phase of that process, which requires a waiver from the Department of Environmental Protection. Here's a look back at West Milford in 1930. You can see the forested lands. It's an area that has many steep slopes as well. And a look at it today remains much the same, but just more of a network of roads in there, and which has led to some development in some areas, but still a very sparsely populated municipality on the whole. 100% in the preservation area, that's very important. That's the reason why the mayor has constantly championed assistance for municipal projects, because they are entirely within the preservation area. Protection zone, if you look at that, it really tells you a lot about the municipality. And nearly 90% is in the protection zone, so those highest resource value lands. Only 7.5% in the existing community zone. And the conservation zone, your agricultural lands, really there's no percentage there. Highlands Open Water Protection Area is over half the municipality. 98% falls under that forest resource area. Conservation priority areas, nearly a quarter of the municipality is on our priority area listing. And it has 5% of the special environmental zone. Again, looking at the statistics of land use, the developed portion of this municipality is only about 14%, a little over 14% of the entire municipality. Natural lands comprise 85.6%. We're going to take you now on a quick virtual flyover of the municipality, again to give you an idea of what you're looking at when you look at, I hope, as well.
Show the screen for people who are air sick from hockey.
Okay, we're having experiencing technical difficulties. I'll try.
While we're waiting for that, I will just note for the record that West Milford is a singular municipality in at least one other respect, and that is that it crosses the boundary between Morris Township and Passaic. So it's got a leg in each area.
Apparently it only took Tom Tagliarini standing beside me for it to work, and the pressure was great. But this gives you a good idea. You can see here the developed portions, but really you can see a lot of forested area in West Milford. And you'll see that this movie's going to take a little longer than normal because you're looking at a great expanse of land. But the value that it provides, as I said, in terms of water supply, drainage to some of the major reservoirs that are relied upon by the state of New Jersey, such as the Wanakee Reservoir. It's also home to Echo Lake, Clinton Reservoir, and Canister Reservoir, which supply water to Newark, and Monksville Reservoir and Greenwood Lake, which provide water for the North Jersey Water Supply Commission. So you have a look there. Again, you see the great expanses of forested land. Also, you'll see a great deal of steep slopes, particularly when we get to the maps. I think it's quite clear why West Milford falls entirely within the preservation area because of the critical resource lands. There's their Clinton Reservoir. Carl, was that great fishing?
Great fishing. Yeah.
Local knowledge.
Yes.
So that's a view, again, of West Milford. Moving on, we're going to show you the ordinance maps. As is customary, you see the three municipalities featured here on the wall for purpose of today's meeting. And this shows you the different zones, your protection zone and your existing community. In this case, no conservation zone. This more clearly showing you, and actually when we get to the final of this series, the existing community is scattered where you see that level of development that has already occurred. Other than that, this falls into the protection zone with a wildlife management area up here. This is your forest resource area. Again, this is a density type mapping, so where you have forest in this area is most critical to protect. And you can see that it's pretty much covered by a forest resource area. Here you see the lake management areas, the streams, wetlands, crisscrossing the entire municipality. This next map shows you the riparian areas and the integrity of the subwatersheds, moderate and high integrity in this case. These are the steep slopes. The darker, the more constrained they are, very severely constrained all the way down to limited. But you can see again a great deal of steep slopes, a lot of them being severely constrained in West Milford. This shows you critical habitat, vernal pools, and your significant natural areas. All of these maps are prepared for the municipality for implementation of the ordinances. Here you see prime groundwater recharge areas, a little bit of carbonate rock, and wellhead protection areas. This map shows you the special environmental zones we spoke about earlier. And this one shows you where you have infrastructure. Again, very important, you can see very limited infrastructure here in West Milford. Where you have this colour, it shows you that you've got sewage facilities and water, and in the blue is where there's just water alone. And where you see the tan colour is where you have sewer. With very limited infrastructure. Here you see the conservation priority areas along with preserved lands. This is what I was talking about earlier. A lot of these are lands that are critical for water supply. And so a lot of West Milford falls under preservation. And here you see some of the areas that we have shown as high priority for future conservation. And here showing high and moderate. Look back at their petition. And here you see their request for them, 1834 West Milford, 175 years in 2009, a town for all seasons. Their petition was submitted to the Highlands Council December 8, 2009, and deemed administratively complete in February of that year, and then subsequently posted to the website. The draft consistency report was sent to them in December of 2010, and their final draft report posted to the Highlands Council January 20th, which began the public comment period, which ended February 4th. The final report was posted to the Highlands Council website on February 10th, and that brings us today here to the public hearing on their petition. I'm going to go through the modules very quickly. Modules 1 and 2 build out the consistency finding for the municipality of West Milford is that they are consistent. Likewise, in their housing plan, they are found to be consistent. Again, we do not approve housing plans. We merely look at what they are proposing to see if it's consistent with the regional master plan. Yeah, I'm going to ask Tom just to brief you on where we are with COA generically, and that will take us through all of the petitions today.
As you may know, the Supreme Court in New Jersey has issued a stay of the Appellate Division decision regarding COA's Round 3 rules. And as you also may know, Senate Bill number 1 was conditionally vetoed by the governor and since withdrawn. We're hearing that a new bill may be introduced as supposedly yesterday, but perhaps this week or next week. As the council has been doing, they continue to approve petitions for plan conformance, conditioned the towns when the affordable housing litigation and or legislation was resolved, they'll come back and resubmit amended fair share plans and housing elements consistent with that direction.
That update will hopefully serve for each of the municipalities you're considering today, because it's very important that we understand the changes that may be coming our way. and but the fact that we will continue to work with municipalities consistent with the regional master plan. The environmental resource inventory and, in response to module 4 by West Milford is also found to be consistent. The master plan element, Highlands element, which is module 5, the finding on that also is consistent. The land use ordinance, module 6, also found to be consistent. And finally, the submission of their petition, which is module 7, everything was complete, and again, the finding on that is consistent. The public comment period, again, started on January 20th and was closed February 4th. We did give notice as required to newspapers and through our website system. We received comments from Kevin Walsh on behalf of the Fair Share Housing Council and from Julia Summers on behalf of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. In terms of the comments received from the Fair Share Housing Centre, you understand that these are the ones we've been receiving on most of the municipalities that you've been considering, and our response remains the same, that the matters that they are concerned about, which is reliance on the Highlands build-out numbers, those concerns are pending currently before the Appellate Division, and therefore we will see what the result of that is. But meanwhile, you're considering a petition. Julia Summers commented on behalf of the Coalition the difficulties that the municipality will be facing in terms of meeting its affordable housing obligations. We understand the concerns raised and the constraints that the municipality faces, and we will continue to work with the municipality to fulfil their obligations. We do remind you that there is a waiver from the strict provision of the Department of Environmental Protection Highlands Rules, which allows for a waiver in the case of a municipality that is entirely in the preservation area and has a project that is 100% affordable. So that's one of the opportunities we will continue to work with West Milford and consider. The Coalition also supports the development of the water use and conservation management plans and asked about when they would begin and be completed. And again, we reiterate what we said at your last meeting, which is we're working with under contract with Camp Dresser McKee to generate models. We're working with pilot municipalities. And once we have that work, then we'll get down to working individually with municipalities. You will see that you have been approving the funding for those programs and that planning. And that's part of your consideration today as well for West Milford. And the Highlands Council will be taking lead on that, on those plans, working with the municipalities. And finally, the Coalition noted that West Milford continues to seek centre designation with the Office of State Planning. Incidentally, the Office of Planning Advocacy, actually, is its new name. The State Planning Commission actually met yesterday, and they have a series of applications that have been pending before them for some time. However, West Milford is an entirely preservation area municipality and must conform to the Highlands Regional Master Plan, therefore is not eligible to go through plan endorsement and centre designation through the Estate Planning Commission. So we'll continue to work with West Milford. Centre designation can occur through the Highlands Plan Conformance process, but it must be remembered that within the preservation area, it is still it's compulsory that it has to adhere to the Highlands DEP rules and the Highlands Regional Master Plan. So I hope that suitably answers that.
The centre designation would be a Highlands centre designation.
It would indeed, and it would not be similar to what you did in Byron, because that was a planning area Highlands centre designation. It would be different in the preservation area. We really focus in the preservation area on redevelopment opportunities consistent with the law. And in fact, in the case of West Milford, because of our conversations with the municipality and their concerns about potential for redevelopment, there is money afforded to them to do that kind of planning in the plan implementation grant and schedule as part of your consideration today. So the staff recommendation to the Highlands Council is to approve the petition from West Milford with the normal conditions because there's ongoing work. The adoption of the approved checklist ordinance, the adoption of the completed environmental resource inventory, master plan element, and Highlands land use ordinance, the updated zoning map, and wastewater management plans. For municipalities that are working with the Highlands Council in their entirety, we are doing the wastewater management planning for them and are working currently with the Department of Environmental Protection on those initiatives. We always request compliance, or it's necessary to comply with the Fair Housing Act. and the update and development implementation of water use and conservation management plan, stormwater management plan updates, habitat conservation management plan, the Highlands redevelopment area planning program, again, that's one of the requests from the town, land preservation and stewardship program, and right to farm ordinance. All of these are conditions. Looking at some of the previous grants that we've given to the municipality, a fair share planning grant that is complete, the municipal pilot planning project grant that was looking at redevelopment opportunities and ecotourism, that plan is also complete. So too is their initial assessment grant. And finally, the water use and conservation management plan, they are one of the pilot programs, that work is ongoing. Under the Highlands Implementation Plan and Schedule, grant funding is proposed for the Water Use and Conservation Management Plan, as before mentioned, the Highlands Redevelopment Area Planning, also mentioned before. That brings you, Mr. Chair, to the your council deliberation.
Thank you, Eileen. We have before us a resolution for adoption of the approval of the petition for plan performance for West Milford. I will start with a motion on the resolution. A second?
So moved.
Second.
Any council comments at this point? Seeing none, we'll move to the public hearing portion.
And I remind you that the planning chair, Andy Gargano, is here today.
Where's the planning man? Yeah. Okay. Would you like to come up and speak first on your petition? On the resolution. Thank you. State your name for the record.
Andrew Gargano. You need my address? 45 Actual Crossroad, West Milford, New Jersey. Let me just show you, by the way, if you just allow me. That's my property right there.
And mine is at the very, very, very
top. Calls it the tip of the top. So for the last house in West Milford, please turn out the lights. And that's all of my stuff. And it takes about 10 minutes to get up to the center of town, from my house anyway. So it's a vast area. I had the pleasure of meeting my wife, who was a West Milford Township property owner with her family there since 1972, and I met her in 1979, and I'm from Long Island, and when I saw this beautiful township, it was the most amazing thing. So not only did I marry my wife 31 years ago, and she's the most lovely thing that ever happened to me, she brought me to this most beautiful place in the world, and we moved there in 1986. So we used to take the kids up there on weekends from Long Island. If you've ever been to Long Island, it's and this is one of the reasons why when the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act came into in 2004, I personally embraced it, because there's just so much overdevelopment and there's just no planning in certain parts of the country. It's terrible. One of the things that we often talk about, even in West Milford, is that we are in a water deficit area in terms of the residents there. You know, we're all 90% of us are on well water, so our water comes from the ground, and it's not this huge aquifer. It's in rock formations and whatnot. So this is essential to our survival for our future. And then too, I have a 2-year-old grandson, so I think of his future. I think of the state of New Jersey taking action on our future, and that's what this is. For us, for this plan conformance, it's, to me, essential for our future. I mean, I'll be 56 this year. I've had a very good life, not that I want it to end. I want to go a long time. But I do want generations and generations to continue in these beautiful areas. And West Milford is necessary for that continuance, in that we, I believe, give drinking water to millions of residents downstate from our the reservoirs and our land. Vernal pools, what is it? Wetlands, that's it. So, in any event, I just wanted to share with you Bettina B. Bieri, our mayor, as Ms. Swan pointed out, could not be here, and believe me, she wanted to be here. So she just texted me before and said, "Can you speak enthusiastically as planning board chair? Also, let them know how important this is to me personally as mayor, and let them know why I'm not there, blah, blah." So she sent me a text following that. Did you get it? Did you understand what I... So she really wants me to relay to you how important this is for our community, for you to endorse the petition for plan conformance today. We have worked very hard on the planning board to get it to what it is, to where it is today. We do appreciate the grant money to help us in achieving this cause. So I thank you. I thank the state of New Jersey for thinking way ahead. And I think I've just about covered everything, right, Carl? So I'll just say thank you very much, and I appreciate your time. Good day.
Thank you. Anyone else commenting on this plan, on this petition?
Helen Heinrich for New Jersey Farm Bureau. This is an example of an area that gives us, a town that gives us some concern, because there's no land in the conservation area, which is the area that gives the most flexibility and leeway to agriculture, and okay, it's only 500 acres of agriculture. But since it's all in the protection area, there's a question about what those farmers can do, and they're very active farmers that we hear from. But putting a requirement for the Right to Farm Act, I think, is going to be very helpful, because it's one of your conditions, and that will open up the discussion of what these people need in accordance with what they can do in the preservation area, protection area. So also I hope that some of the conservation priority land will continue to be preserved, and those landowners be compensated. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other?
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. West Milford, it reminds me of a conversation I had recently with Mr. Richko. I pointed out to him that since I took this job, everybody thinks they live in the heart of the Highlands. Everybody who lives in the... But he said, no. West Milford really is the heart of the Highlands. And West Milford, I think, when you see the statistics that Eileen showed, has some justification to consider themselves the heart of the heart of the Highlands. Personally, I want everybody to think they live in the heart of the Highlands, because it should be important to everybody. But it's really important today that West Milford is moving forward with this application, and we congratulate them. It's frustrating and ironic that a town that sends so much water to northern New Jersey has serious water problems itself. So the Water Use and Conservation Management Plan is going to be really critical for West Milford, because they have homes that run out of water every year in West Milford, and it's a problem. So thanks very much. We wish West Milford good luck. They're going to need lots of help.
Thank you.
My name is David Shope. I have a farm in Lebanon Township. Here we have West Milford, who sends water to Newark, amongst other places, and yet has a water deficit. Well, first of all, the water deficit is based on the assumption that West Milford, as most of the Highlands, is presumed to be in a perpetual drought. It's a fallacious assumption based on the statute, which says that's we're in a perpetual drought. So if the legislators say we're in a perpetual drought in Trenton, and the governor signs the act, I guess it's true. What balderdash! So why don't you keep some of your water up there in West Milford for yourself? That's suggestion number one. And I'm really questioning the authority. I should have done it a long time ago. I'm really questioning the authority for you to impose, you as the Highlands Council, to impose conditions on a town that is in the preservation area, and hence under the heel of the DEP, as opposed to your heel. I don't see how you can tell the DEP, unless they've given you carte blanche to do so, that this is what you're going to impose as on towns who have all or some of their property in the preservation area. And the town planner spoke about the future, and he hopes to have a good future for himself, his kids, et cetera, et cetera. I just ran across a newspaper article from Bernardsville. I can't read the month, but it was in 2006, and this is where Mikel Salavera, who sat amongst you not that long ago, worried about his future too. As a matter of fact, he says in this article, in which he's applying for subdivision of his property, which is valued at $3.1 million, I believe, into 10-acre lots. He says he's dealing with his mortality. That's why he's there, whacking up his property into 10-acre lots. And Mr. Salavera was 52 years old, and he's described as a retired Goldman Sachs executive at 52. That's even better than Mr. Richko, who had to wait till he was 58 before he retired. And Mr. Salavera, I'm sure, got his subdivision through and has taken care of his mortality concerns, while the rest of us sit and continue to twist in the wind, while you people who are really incompetent continue to let us twist in the wind. Thank you.
I could top that. Seeing no one else wishing to speak. Mm-hmm. Did I see you? Yes.
Well, New Jersey Conservation Foundation, Wilma Fry, we must congratulate West Milford for doing this. Basically, it's a beautiful, beautiful town. I've hiked on Green Pond Mountain a lot and gone up to the fire tower. It's the place to take the legislators so they know what the Highlands looks like. You look out 360 degrees over the forest. It's an outstanding place. I hope very much that this plan will be approved, and we're very pleased to be here to see it happen. Thank you.
Seeing no one else.
Mr. Chairman.
I didn't mean it.
This time I really didn't.
Mr. Chairman, can I just say a few words?
Yes, you certainly.
I've spoken many times with Mayor Beery, and I know she would be very disappointed that she's not here today. She has spoken highly to me about the Highlands Council and the Highlands staff. I'm sure she would thank the Highlands staff for all that you've done for this process. We do consider ourselves to be the heart of the Highlands. We have six large reservoirs, Oak Ridge, Clinton, Canisteer, Echo Lake, Charlottesburg, and Monksville, that supply water to many urban areas in Madison. Our planning board chairman pointed out, we are in a water deficit area. We've had three water studies, hydrology studies done in the last 35 years that show that any future development in West Milford will have a real effect on the present homeowners. One of the last developments that were proposed in West Milford, they were well testing, and they had to drill down 700 to 1,200 feet. So you can see that we do have a problem with our aquifers. And it's an area that really should not be developed for two reasons, that it does supply water to so much of the state, and we are in water deficit areas. So I'm very much pleased today that this is where I think the first State County town that's coming before the Highlands Council for compliance, and I'm very much in favor of it, and I hope the rest of the council will be also.
Thank you, Mr. Richo.
Yes, Mr.
Richo,
a question.
Yes.
The reservoirs that you have there obviously are providing water to other places. What's the source of water in those reservoirs?
Okay. Streams, rivers, the flows of river. Yeah, wetlands.
But are there's no main large bodies of water?
You know, no, there's different watersheds. We have a Paquonic River watershed and Wanacue.
Paquonic and Wanacue.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, before you consider your vote, I just wanted to acknowledge Jim Hutzelman. Jim was the on our staff, he was the liaison to West Milford. He is our water resources engineer, which I think is very apropos for this particular municipality. But I want to acknowledge all the work he's done on assisting the municipality through this process.
Thank you, Jim. Well done, as usual. The staff is outstanding, especially in matters such as this. And if there are no other comments from the members, I'll call for a vote.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Kovach?
Yes.
Councilmember Letts?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Acting Chairman Schroeder?
Yes. It's okay. Thank you all very much.
We actually, this is for the mayor, so I'll leave these here, Jack will come and he'll present the photograph, and then Jim and myself will
Can you have a lot of conversations with Chuck? Indirectly, yeah. Yeah, we were talking about it. But still. Oh, wait, should I call this?
No, we'll take care of it.
Oh, okay.
I just want to tell you that I spent a month in Long Island in one day.
Oh, okay, yeah. Nothing but driving.
You look here, there's no potato farms in there.
No, it used to be when I was growing up. But that all got developed into Levittown. Thank you.
Please be lucky. Our very best wishes to the mayor. We understand.
Yes.
I didn't mean to.
I just said we all. Thank you very much for your help, sir.
We're moving to item number 9 on the agenda. Presentation for petition of time performance by Tutor.
Correct, and Chairman, I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that Lou DeMer is here today. He's a committeeman from Tewksbury, and the council staff have worked with him over a number of issues in the past few years.
Thank you.
Okay, we start off again. If you look up here at the slide, you can see some pictures from Tewksbury Township. And we'll give you an introduction. Here you see some of the farmland. You'll see there's a great deal of agricultural land in Tewksbury Township, and in fact a great deal of preservation has occurred of farmland in the municipality. Also, here you see the general store in Mountainville, a very beautiful area within Tewksbury, and the river there is the south branch of the Raritan. Tewksbury Township was incorporated in 1798 and has a population of 6,076. Again, a large municipality, not as large as West Milford, but 31.7 square miles. So in terms of highland municipalities, this is one of the larger ones as well. Great deal of preserved lands, 3,645 acres. They've been very watchful. They've got a very strong citizen group and a history of citizens involved in preservation long before it was sort of a popular thing to do. There were residents in Tewksbury who were aware of the importance of protecting natural resource lands and were very involved. And then they've moved on in more recent years to a lot of farmland protection through the County Ag Board of Hunterdon County and the State Agricultural Development Committee. They have wetlands and significant forested areas, over 9,000 acres. And again, the farmland there, you can see nearly 6,000 acres of farmland. And this is Colebrook Preserve here, this picture, one of the early preservation projects within Tewksbury Township. Here you see a look back in time, 1930, but you can see the forested lands and you can see the open lands that make up a lot of the agricultural lands today. Again, the biggest difference really is the network of roads that crisscross the municipality and some of the subdivisions that they serve. 66% of the land, so roughly two-thirds is in their preservation area, and the other one-third of Tewksbury falls within the planning area, so this is a split municipality. The petition you are considering today is for preservation and planning area lands. The conservation zone of this municipality, in absolute contrast to West Milford, where you can see any conservation zone, you've got over half of Tewksbury falls within that predominantly agricultural area. Protection zone about 36%, and the existing community is only about 1.1% of Tewksbury Township. You see there the Highlands Open Water Protection Area is about 38% of the municipality. About half of it falls within the forest resource area. Agricultural priority area is over a third of the municipality, and conservation priority area is about 12%. Here you see the land use statistics. Developed, and note that the developed contains those agricultural lands, it's a little over half of the municipality. In the natural lands, about 48.3%. Now we're going to attempt to do that virtual flyover. Looks like it's going to work this time. So going in, and here you see the split. That's the preservation area. We're going to start coming in over the planning area. You can see here this is Route 78, so we'll start going in into the planning area and going north over Route 78 up into the area of the village of Oldwick. And again, here you can see the forested lands, and over here, a great deal of those open lands, those agricultural lands that we spoke of in Tewksbury. Moving up now, we're going to be turning into the preservation area lands, about two-thirds of the municipality. Again, you can see that, you know, this is why these movies do help us see the very different characteristics of the different municipalities, where you saw the steep slopes, the forested areas, and the many lakes and reservoirs of West Milford. Here you see the patches of forest for a great deal of open agricultural lands in Tewksbury. And later you'll see the results of their work on farmland preservation in some of the maps when we get to seeing those preserved areas. Still, you do see these large forested areas, some of which do show some fragmented development. Hill and Dale Farm that you see up here shown on the map is an area where actually New Jersey Conservation Foundation has been doing some very important preservation of a large tract there. Okay, so. Moving on with Tewksbury, we see the ordinance, land use ordinance maps here. This one showing you the land use zones, protection, conservation, and existing communities. So you can see again a lot of conservation lands here. The green is showing you the protection zone lands. This map shows you the forest resource area. Again, where forest is present here in this density mapping, it is most critical to protect. You also see the integrity of these, the forest integrity in these sub-watersheds, low, moderate, and high. This shows you the streams, stream complexes, and some wetlands in Tewkesbury. Next map showing you the riparian areas. Again, the riparian integrity in this case, Biotope 14, sub-watershed. Steep slopes. You can see again the steepest, shown in the darkest color, the most severely constrained, all the way down to the less constrained ones, but nonetheless the steep slopes of Tewkesbury Township. Critical wildlife areas and the significant natural areas here on this mapping, and Vernal Pools shown by these little small circles. Prime groundwater recharge areas in the purple, karst topography, your limestone areas here, and wellhead protection areas. Importantly, this shows you agricultural resource area, another type of density mapping, again, where agricultural resources are very important to protect in this municipality. This shows you the infrastructure, again, very limited in Tewkesbury. You see where there is sewer, you see where there's water, and you see where there's both available. This is up in that Pottersville area. Here you see preserved lands. You see the priorities for it. The green shows you those that are already preserved. A lot of this information was updated through the build-out process working with municipalities. And here you see, this color shows you those that are shown as a moderate priority for preservation, conservation. Here you see ag lands, again you see the preserved, and you see high priority for agricultural preservation. And here showing with moderate, so these again are our listings according to the Highlands Act's requirement for these preservation areas. The Tewkesbury Township, let's look back at the petition. You see there a photo of Oldwick, a charming little village in Tewkesbury Township. Their petition was submitted, and as I recall, very late on the night of December 8th, that one arrived in, but met the deadline. It was deemed administratively complete in March of 2010, and posted to the website subsequently in April. The draft consistency report was sent out in August and posted to the Highlands website January 20th, which again, in the case of Tewkesbury, began the public comment period, the end of which was February 4th. The final report was posted on the 10th of February, and that brings us to today, to the Highlands Council public hearing. Again, to go through the modules, modules 1 and 2 build out. Their finding for that was that they are consistent. Module 3, which is their fair share plan, again, looked at in terms of consistency with the regional master plan and deemed to be consistent. This, interestingly, working with Tewkesbury, we wanted to acknowledge a great job they did in the case of looking at potential and how to meet your affordable housing obligations. This is a historic building in Tewkesbury Township known as Bartles property. And it was transformed into 3 affordable housing units. And we talked to the municipality a lot about this, and just this was their work. We want to show you this was the building as it was when they started this project. So you can see a very beautiful old building. This shows you the state it was in. It was, the rooms were peeling, and a great deal of destruction, the stairs going up, old wallpaper, real problems with leaking and issues of that. And today, this is what it looks like, and it houses 3 affordable units. So a great job that maintained the character of the building, the history of which Tewkesbury is very proud, and indeed we'll talk more about their historical commission that they have.
They lost the flagstone on the porch.
I apologize for that personally, Jack. I think they protected what they certainly
did. The most charming feature.
Moving quickly from that to get Jack off it, and environmental resource inventory, they were found to be consistent. And Module 5, Highlands Master Plan element, also finding of consistency. Module 6, the Land Use Ordinance, also consistent. And Module 7, their petition also found to be consistent. Public comments received. Again, it was the public comment period commenced January 20th, closing February 4th. We received comments from Kevin Walsh, Esquire, on behalf of the Fair Share Housing Council, Hank Klump, who is present today, property owner from Tewkesbury, Robin Love, the president of the Residents Alliance for Neighbourhood Preservation, George Casa, Alliance for Historic Hamlets, Basil Hone and Francis Spann, Citizens to Save Tewkesbury, and Julia Summers on behalf of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. The Fair Share Housing Centre, as I've mentioned before, similar comments, the concern about the reliance on the Highlands build-out numbers, and again I remind you that these are matters that are pending before the Appellate Division. Mr. Klump submitted comments. One of his comments was his concern regarding the inclusion of Tewkesbury in the Highlands area, the scientific basis for the mapping, the establishment of the preservation area boundary, and he also expressed concerns over landowner equity issues. A summary of the responses, remember the full, these are just the summaries that we provide here for purposes of this meeting. Tewkesbury Township was first identified in the Highlands region mapping as part of the 2001 New Jersey State Development and Redevelopment Plan, so we wanted to give you sort of a history of the municipality's inclusion in the region. The 2001 state plan analyzed the significant resources of the Highlands, and the conclusion was that nearly 70% of the area was mapped as environmentally sensitive. Extensive federal studies were also conducted by the United States Forest Service in 1992 and updated in 2002, and that led to the Federal Highlands Conservation Act. In that study, too, Tewkesbury was included in the Highlands area region. Now, the delineation of the preservation area boundary, as you're well aware, and we remind you, was an action of the legislature, and the council has no authority to modify that boundary. And that is the boundary that divided Tewkesbury into approximately two-thirds in the preservation area and one-third in the planning area. The establishment and the boundary of the preservation area has since been supported in two decisions, OFP LLC versus the state and the county of Warren versus the state. Also, with respect to landowner equity, we want to remind you of the requirement in the Highlands Act. And the actual words were a provision for, and this is the quote, a strong and significant commitment by the state to fund the acquisition of exceptional natural resource value lands. That was the commitment in the Act. The Highlands Council recently completed a report, we did share that with you, that shows that since July of 2008, a further 7,690 acres have been added as preserved lands. The region presently has a total of 290,214 preserved acres. The report also showed that since 2008, SADC Farmland Preservation Program has paid an average of $9,816 per acre for development rights in the preservation area and 14,288 acres in the per acre in the planning area. The Green Acres program in the preservation area properties have averaged about $10,265 an acre, in the planning area about $19,957 an acre. And finally, under the Highlands TDR program, for those preservation area properties that have received an allocation, and that's an allocation of HDCs, the average per land value is $10,135 per acre. We also remind you that the Highlands Council it has all continually supported a water user fee, the extension of the dual appraisal method, which has occurred, and the expansion of the TDR program statewide to offer better opportunities for the success of that TDR program, and that too, that program was expanded. We did receive comments again from Robin Love, George Casa, and Basil Hone and Francis Spann. Their letters, they were letters of support for the Township's petition for plan conformance, and they also supported the removal of the Route 78 sewer service area from Tewkesbury Township's wastewater management plan to be consistent with the Township's petition and the regional master plan. Our response to that is we acknowledge their support for the Township's petition, and we will continue to work with the Township to develop a consistent wastewater management plan. And as I explained earlier, for those municipalities that conform in their entirety to the regional master plan, the the Highlands Council will be doing their wastewater management plan. Julia Summers, on behalf of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. The coalition also supports Tewksbury Township's petition and also supports the recommendation that jurisdiction over critical habitat areas of the Highlands region will rest in large part with the Highlands Council and the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. And again, we acknowledge their support for the petition and their recommendation for jurisdiction over critical habitat areas. They also note that the way they put it was that the township had elected not to include a historic cultural archaeological resources ordinance, and they support the township's future adoption of the ordinance. We wanted to be very clear on that, that the township actually hadn't taken a proactive stance on that at this point in time. They were just submitting their petition. However, one must recognize that Tewksbury has an existing historic preservation commission and protective ordinances. They also have a scenic roads commission. They can augment these protections through plan conformance, and in fact, one of their committee members, Sean Van Doren, had called me during the public comment period and had spoken at the town about these issues. So first of all, we recognize the great work they have done, and in the next steps of adoption of the documents through plan conformance, they may choose to augment those protections. The Highlands Coalition also wanted to confirm that in the planning area, the regional master plan prohibits the creation or extension of public water supply systems and wastewater collection and treatment systems within the protection zone, the conservation zone, and the environmentally constrained sub-zones until or unless authorized by the Highlands Council. And in response to that, we say that those treatment systems and extensions are permitted only where approved by the Highlands Council and included within a New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection approved wastewater management plan. We do remind you that in terms of those zones, there are opportunities for factual corrections through regional master plan updates, through the process, if applied for by the municipality or petitioned for, of map adjustments. And also always the potential of central designation, such as you did in Byram, or indeed consideration under receiving zones. The staff recommendation to the council is to approve the petition with these proposed conditions. The adoption of the approved checklist ordinance, the planning area petition ordinance, which is a requirement of the Highlands Act, the adoption of the completed environmental resource inventory, the completed master plan Highlands element, the Highlands land use ordinance, the updated zoning map, a wastewater management plan, compliance with the Fair Housing Act, and the update and development implementation of the water use and conservation management plan, stormwater management plan, habitat conservation and management plan, land preservation and stewardship program, septic system management maintenance plan. Again, that's a requirement under the Department's of Environmental Protection's wastewater management rules. Further, we looked at opportunity for granting them funds for green building, environmental sustainability, and alternate energy plan, right to farm ordinance, agricultural retention plan, stream corridor protection, and restoration plan. We do remind you that the documents, as part of your petition today, the municipality may make further changes, and again I say this because of conversations with Tewksbury, as was the case with other municipalities, but as was the case of all these municipalities, that they're going to go through a very public adoption process, and changes may occur, and we'll work with the municipality during that period. A look back at their grants, they've had a fair share planning grant from the Highlands Council, that is complete. An initial assessment grant, also complete, and they have an ongoing transfer of development rights feasibility grant, so they're looking at that. In terms of what we're looking at into the future grant funding, Highlands implementation plan and schedule includes the following: water use and conservation management plan. The Highlands Council again takes lead on that project, working closely with the municipality. The stream corridor restoration protection plan, habitat conservation management plan, the ag retention, and again, as mentioned before, the green building, environmental sustainability, alternative energy plan. So here you have a photograph in Tewksbury Township of their administration building, and it is time for the council to deliberate on the petition before you.
all these photographs taken in the snow in the winter?
We send Nathan out, and he's like the U.S. Postal Service. Nothing stops him.
Thank you, Nathan.
That concludes your presentation. I will seek a motion on the petition for plan performance resolution.
I'll make a motion to approve, Mr. Chairman, with the staff recommendations.
Second.
And second. Okay. Any comments at this point from the council members? Seeing none, we'll move on to public portion.
And you have Councilman Ludemare.
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. I really wasn't expecting to make any comments today, but I will start by saying a very heartfelt thank you to Eileen and Tom and your support staff. They have all been wonderful throughout this entire process and extremely helpful. The entire process in town has been very open, and our public has been very engaged in this process. At times it's been contentious, at other times it's been very smooth. I'm sure you're all familiar with Mr. Klump, and he's going to probably regale you with some more of his concerns and comments, but I will say that there are a number of people that feel just quite the opposite about that. And I heard earlier, Mr. Chairman, a comment, an allusion to the old W.C. Fields joke about spending a week in Philadelphia one day. I kind of feel that applies to this process. When we started this process, I was new to public service, having been elected to office. Since the start of that process, I've been out of office. I've served as mayor while I was in office, and then I was out of office. Now I'm back in office. So I'm personally pleased to be here to see it to this point. And again, I just want to thank everyone. And Eileen's presentation was so thorough today. I have nothing to add to it that would not be anything other than refuting whether this is a more beautiful town than some other towns. So I will stay away from that. But thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments very much. Mr. Klump.
If somebody else wants to talk.
There's no one else. Are you going to regale us as we advertised?
Ooh, that was tough. I'm coming back as a lawyer.
And I'll hire you, Hank.
Thanks, because I'm going to need a job pretty soon. Thanks for letting me speak here today. My name's Hank Klump. I'm a farmer who owns 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area in Tewksbury. Again, I enjoy your comments, Mrs. Swan. They were very, very good. But I'd like to give my full thing here. Tewksbury was not part of the original Highlands map. Overnight, the boundaries were changed. I'm not mentioning names, but I do know who was holding the eraser that day. The choice was never scientific. It was all political. I have been asking now for almost 7 years to see the scientific study that put my property in the Highlands Preservation Area, and still have not been shown. The town changed the zoning from 3 to 12 acres to stop development. And then the Highlands Act came along and disguised itself as a water saver, while all along it was a land grab. Why is there nothing on record that shows any township meeting or any resolution to adopt the Highlands Act? Farmers are now being punished to keep their beautiful land over the many generations. They are being punished by the loss of equity, and this is a real big issue. The 13,475 acres of land now in the Highlands Preservation in Tewksbury is the same land everyone who is living on only a building lot loves enjoying with the views and beauty. Farmers have been stewards of this land for many generations. Farmlands are family investments. With all the real estate value taken away, what does the farmer do when he can't farm anymore? How can a township turn its back on people who have invested a lifetime in land that has been in that has had its real estate value taken by an act that was never to harm anyone, and yet passed without one sentence placed to compensate people for their losses. How can a township allow this to happen? If you haven't owned a farm for generations, you just do not care or understand. People around the corner from my farm never even heard of Highlands Act. Why? It does not affect them. The state, for going on 7 years, has not lived up to the obligation to find a dedicated funding source to compensate the landowners for the land values taken for the Highlands Act. When someone, when someone takes something that belongs to another without agreement or compensation, it's known as a theft. Is there a difference because the state is doing the taking? Is it morally right for the many to take from the few? The state must first compensate the affected property owners before it can exercise the right it now claims to the property it has stolen. Presently, Tewksbury Township and the Highlands Council are accessories to the theft. Now, I have some other comments. Things seem to be rushed through like a freight train. Politics at work. Have these issues been addressed? Equity. Where does it stand? Mandatory septic system with a licensed engineer. Forest management program. How will the forest management program that has been in place for over 40 years be treated? Will this property be exempt from future management programs by the Highlands Act? These questions go on unanswered. They are the nightmare for people who are being taken advantage of it. And to one of your comments there when you said they had a rough time getting this act forward, on the original vote, before December, to go ahead with this, it was voted down. And for political reasons, not science, not anything, they had a redo. And there's a five-member township committee, and one of the members voted to go into this thing. But it was turned down originally, so I don't know whether you knew that or not. And that's why they had it. It was almost like a midnight meeting, you know what I mean, because of political. Not science, not what it's supposed to be. All political, and that's the way it happens in our town. Thanks for letting me speak. I'd like to have those questions. If somebody can send me something in writing as to where we stand or whatever it is, because I'm not an internet guy, I would definitely appreciate that, because it's our property. We're the ones, the people you mentioned up there, one of them's a lobbyist. Now, they're telling the people what to do in our town. The other people, they're fine. They own a piece of property, they live there, that's fine. But we're the property owners. We're the large property owners, and we're not being compensated. And without that, equity is a big thing. And most people know this, because if you're in business without equity, you can't exist. It's simple as that. Banks don't even want to talk to you. So it actually puts the farmer out of business. And that's what Tewksbury is doing. Thank you for letting me speak here. I appreciate that.
Hank, I think that you may have missed perhaps when Eileen was speaking of a couple of the initiatives that the Highlands Council has supported and has undertaken to try to provide some compensation and some source of funding for compensation. We've been doing this since 2004. We have had just slightly less success than you have had.
Well, I've got it. If I have time, I won't do it now because you're doing something, but I'll tell you why I feel bad. And you people, I mean, up here, other than Kurt, nobody has nothing to lose here. So you really don't understand what's happened. I mean, our family was torn apart. I had two sons in farming. They're no longer farming. We can't afford it. Before the act, we were going along fine. We didn't make a lot of money, but we were able to keep going. Today, that's not so. So, but the thing that bothers me on this Highlands Council, if you people would stand up and say, hey, we're not going to do this to these people until the legislation, which has appointed you people or got this thing going, comes up with the money to compensate us. That's all we're asking, is to be compensated for what's been taken away from us. Because if we were on the same field as the other towns out of the Highlands Act, we'd be okay. But you can't. It's not right. And, you know, maybe you people don't understand that. You know?
I think we do understand.
But that's the thing. If you people would stand up and say to the legislation, hey, listen, you guys got to compensate that. Otherwise, you're not going to do anything anymore. And I know you took an oath and all that stuff. But that's what it... And who else have we got to complain to? And listen, I got nothing against any of you people. But, you know, it's not right, you know, what's being done to the farmers or large landowners. I mean, I was down in South Jersey the other day, and they said, oh, Jesus, I can't believe what's happened to you guys up there. It's happened. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm a Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions, and happily today, a resident of Tewksbury. I live in an historic district. I'm very happy in the historic district. I want the historic district to remain intact, even if they tell me I can't put an air conditioner out my front window. I love it there. It's very important that Tewksbury successfully conform. It's a town at serious risk because it's got an interstate highway clipping its southern border. It's a town that over the years has seen its zoning go from 1 acre lots all over the whole town to 5 acre, 3 acre, and ultimately 10 and 12 acre zoning as a result of the municipality's desire to protect its environment. I think you're giving them much better tools than that crude method of protecting the environment. And I would urge that you vote yes today. I would also say that the folks in town are in a state of change and a state of flux. There are folks around that have had farms in the community for generations. There are also people that have arrived, you know, what time is it now? But it's interesting what happens when people start to appreciate what they have. And I think you've got a way here through the conformance process to increase that understanding and what people understand they will protect. So I urge you to vote yes today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Don't forget you.
First, a little bit on wells. It was mentioned earlier by Mr. Richko. I recently drilled a well on my farm. I had to go 720 feet. And within sight, within a few hundred feet of the well that I drilled, at 720 feet, were wells that went anywhere from a little over 100 feet to 250 feet. When you're trying to find water in cracks in hard rock, sometimes you hit it and sometimes you don't. So the fact that there's a 900-foot well or a 1,200-foot well in of itself means nothing except you missed the crack. Now back to Tewksbury. Tewksbury, unfortunately, from what I gather, is opting into the planning area as well. And these people who are in the planning area and who would think they've dodged a bullet in terms of how this act will affect them are in for a rude awakening when they get the septic maintenance and other stuff, stream protection, ordinance and all this other stuff that they thought did not apply to them, but just simply applied to the Hank Klumps of Tewksbury Township. When these ordinances are drafted and these people have to comply with them, they too will be unhappy campers, because they will be subject to unnecessary, harsh, restrictive ordinances that don't exist anywhere else in their neighborhood once you cross the Highlands boundary line. These people who move in and don't seem to appreciate what they have, what they're really appreciating is other people's assets. They're appreciating Hank Klump's farm. They think it's just wonderful that Hank Klump has a farm, and they don't give a damn if he makes a dime or not. That's the simple truth of the matter. This kind of attitude is currently reflected in Tewksbury Township with their scrap over the substation. So I would hope that you advise Tewksbury Township not to opt into the planning area. That part of Tewksbury Township that's in the preservation area really has no choice. They're getting this law crammed down their throat. And as I've said in other meetings, when the citizens in the planning area of Tewksbury Township get to realize what their elected officials has done to them, I hope they invite them to a party, and I hope they invite me to the same party where I will bring the tar and feathers. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Why do you always choose to go at an opportune moment?
Yeah. Wilmer Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation, and I'm also a resident of Tewksbury Township. This is my town. I admit that I'm a newcomer. I've only lived there for 13 years. And I had the pleasure and opportunity to serve on the Environmental Commission for 10 years. I urge you to vote yes on this petition. I would like to, you mentioned some of the people who really cared about the town. Eileen mentioned in her introduction, and two of these people are here today, Rilda and Basil Hone, who originally had a group called Citizens to Save Old Wick and expanded it to be Citizens to Save Tewksbury. And they have played an important role in maintaining the beauty of Tewksbury. New Jersey Conservation Foundation was one of the first groups to help preserve land in the town. We preserved the Colbert Preserve, which is now a county park, and are now working on the Hill and Dale Farm. I will be glad to see the historic element finalized or enlarged or completed. Tewksbury does have very good historic protections right now, but the area that I am in is not yet in a historic district. Cokesbury is not yet in a historic district. And so there's always more to be done. And I would give all my support to any application Mr. Klump chooses to offer to for farmland preservation for his property. My organization is trying to make sure that the state will in fact bond the funding that was authorized by the general public more than a year ago. So we would, we hope the Farmland Preservation Program will go forward and there will be more funding out there for things like Mr. Klump's farm, development rights or fee, one or the other. Thank you very much.
It should be noted, Wilma, thank you, that the Farmland Preservation Program protects and preserves the farm as a farm.
Right.
Yet the farm owner who enrolls in the program continues to retain ownership of the property as a farm and can sell it if he chooses to or she chooses to. And if it's a profitable sale, certainly do that. But it must be sold as a farm. So it's continuing farmland in perpetuity. And I think that's an important aspect of the entire farmland preservation program.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I just wanted to address an issue that Mr. Klump raised and keeps being repeated. He said that all the real estate value has been taken away from him. Close to Mr. Klump's farm is the farm that was noted on the presentation by Eileen as you were flying over Tewksbury. It's called Hill and Dale Farm. It's a little over 300, well, it's quite a bit over 300 acres. It is under contract for purchase, part of it. Part of it will remain in farmland use. But the average per acre cost to the state, to people who are putting money into purchase of this farm, is $40,000 an acre. $40,000 an acre in the preservation area is quite a lot of money. Mr. Klump tells us he has 150 acres. Now, I don't believe that Mr. Klump's farm is entirely comparable to Hill and Dale. Some of the areas shown on the maps for Tewksbury do indeed impact him because there are steep slopes and riparian areas that impact Mr. Klump's farm. But that's still a starting price before you start reducing it of $6 million for his farm. That's not a small sum of money. It's his choice. It is there. We believe that the Hill and Dale farm will go through. I believe that at least one of your members on the council who has a lot of experience with this, Mayor Cogger, can vouch for similar numbers being appropriate in his town. They won't be appropriate all over the Highlands in the preservation area, but land is not all the same. Location, location, location. I'm just saying, all the real estate value has not been taken away. There are options for property owners in the preservation area, and it is very unfortunate that this keeps being said. I hope you support Tewksbury Township's petition to conform. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yes, ma'am. Sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Basil Hone. I live 18 King Street, Oldwick, which is in the planning area. I'm involved with citizens to save Tewksbury who've made a submission on the subject. We, our organization strongly supports conformance, both the preservation and the planning area, to the regional master plan. And as far as I'm concerned, living near Oldwick, living in the planning area, I appreciate the vital importance of keeping our water resources as pristine as we possibly can, so that if we proceed with conformance of the planning area, which I very much hope we will do, and that the council will vote in favor of that, the fact that we will have some obligations imposed on us for sewer, maintaining sewer, our sewer systems, for keeping the control of streams, I welcome, because I think it's most important, not only for Tewksbury, but for Huntingdon County, for the state of New Jersey, that we do everything we can to keep our water clean and pure and plenty of it. The other thing that this gentleman stated behind me, that most of us don't give a damn about Mr. Klump's situation, I just want to say that we who are involved in Citizens to Save Tewksbury, we appreciate the fact that the state has not come up to scratch in terms of the funding that should be provided, and while I don't agree with a lot of what Mr. Klump says in this matter of equity, I think it has been a long, hard road for the farmers, and that they do have justification for their anxiety, because there don't seem to be adequate funds around. I hope that the TDR system really gets up and going and is a success, as it has proved to be in the Highlands. But as far as Mr. Clamp is concerned, I believe that if he wants to take advantage of the opportunity to sell his development rights, that he should be adequately compensated. And our group continues to feel that a water tax is a very appropriate way of raising some of the funding. Finally, I'd like to say that the Highlands Council has always been, the staff of the Highlands Council have always been the most helpful, and we much appreciate their efforts. And I do hope that you'll vote for opting in, conforming both the preservation area and the planning area. Thank you.
Do you want to speak again, Hank? Yeah. You want me to hear? You can hear me all right, right?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. You know, all these people talk about environmental issues and everything, compensate farmers. Just to give you an idea, before the Highlands Act, Tewksbury had 3 acres only. Our land, 150 acres, 3-acre lots, sold for $250,000. An inexpensive lot. It all depends, like, view and where you're at. Because at that same year, there was lots selling for $450,000. But if you just took our farm, for an example, just round the numbers off, say 150 acres, 3-acre lots, that's 50 lots. That comes out to $12.5 million. All right? Granted, if we wanted to develop and get out, we never wanted to. We had offers. There was a guy who wanted to put a golf course in. We didn't want it. We were very happy. We never extend anything. We were buying land so that we could continue to farm, because there ain't no more of it. Nobody's making it. We tore houses down so that we could have the land. I mean, we were farming it before. But I mean, you know, to come and say, you're talking pennies on the dollar, even $40,000 an acre. And it's not right, what I'm getting at, because it's the numbers aren't there. So when they come up with these numbers, and I know Hellendale Farm, I know the people, they're very nice people, but the thing is a big difference between what it was before the Highlands Act and what it is today. That's all I can say. So I'd like you to vote no on this thing. I've voted no for ever since it started. I mean, you know what I mean? So when we went 3-12, you know, the worst part in Tewksbury is the farmers are in the minority. And we don't have a big voice. You go to township meetings, all the, you know, all the town people are here, which is fine. They enjoy our farm. We don't care. But that's the name of the game here. But thanks again. I appreciate it.
See no one else? Any comments from the council members?
Mr. Chairman, several months ago, Eileen and I went to a township committee meeting in Tewksbury where they discussed the location of a Jersey Central Power and Light substation. Review was made. We found it inconsistent, and I just want to express my disappointment that the BPU has granted Jersey Central Power and Light that position. I strongly disagree. I think there are other locations where that could be made. I trust that they're willing to conform and assist them in going forward in preserving that historic district. And if we give up our history, I think that's something that we culturally resist. And hate to see that that happen in that particular place. So I'm strongly in favor of the planning area and performance, and hope to have a solution. Thank you.
Okay. Any other council members here comment? If not, we will call the vote on the resolution regarding the approval of the petition for planning performance by the Chiefs of the Township.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Kovacs? Councilmember Letts?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Acting Chairman Schreier?
Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I neglected to inform you, James Humphreys is the Highland staff liaison on this. He also leads on affordable housing planning and assisting the towns on that as well. But in the case of Tewksbury and, in fact, in Rockway, which we'll be considering next, James has served as the liaison and worked with the professionals. So I want to thank him.
Thank you. Okay, two down. One more to go. Everybody comfortable? Need a break?
Jack, would you mind coming up, please?
Photo op.
There's a break.
If they wanted to keep farming, that is important.
We can make you bring these back to town for Jack and show them that they're still involved and your elected officials.
Is that really what it is? But is it the east side that's the biggest?
I think several different
things.
One is,
we'll take that back
with you. If you're a farmer that was supposed to be retirement,
No, I'll stay back. Thank you, I appreciate that.
You want to be part of this?
No, sir, I do not.
Thank you so much.
I would touch that with a 10-foot ball. $100 bills.
Regardless,
mucho.
The value was always there.
Well, I would have went up here with my son. How about that? How about this? Yeah, come on, where's the
operations have changed.
Maybe even as like a second word, or a second. That's what we're talking about. That's what I was talking about. I was asking.
Eileen, please, move to Rockaway Township.
Yes, sir.
I'm getting pressure from all sides.
I understand them, yes, I understand.
Not just you. I have others who are pressing me.
Okay. The next petition for you today, council members, is the petition from Rockaway Township, and it is a petition for preservation of planning areas. I do want to let you know that we have a large contingent from Rockaway with us here today. We have their administrator, Gregory Poff. We have the land use administrator, Phyllis Hartman. We have the Kevin Kane, their planner. We have Ed Buzak, the township attorney. And we have the chair of their environmental commission, Pat Mazzarato. So we're pleased to have all of Rockaway here today. Again, if you look at the slides, you'll have an image of Rockaway Township here, starting out, and you can see that the Split Rock Reservoir, the Iron Master's house is there, and the wonderful bug down here is a moth. It is a hummingbird moth, and that picture was taken at Lake Telemark up in Rockaway. Just as we go into this, and because you have the Iron Master's house there, you'll see during this there's a logo in Rockaway, which is it's an anvil, and it's interesting to note that this was the first district in the United States to actively mine and work iron ore. The Mount Hope mine dates back to 1710, and the first forge to 1730. During the Revolutionary War, the Continental Army were desperate for soldiers, but the New Jersey legislature exempted 75 men from this region because it was critical that they mine the ore for weapons and ammunition. So you'll see that as a theme running through this presentation. It was incorporated in 1844. The municipality has a population of about 25,500 people. Again, a very large municipality, looking at very large ones today, at 45.8 square miles. Nothing near Carl's municipality, though. Preserved lands, a lot of them.
First place,
yes, sir. Over 11,500 acres, so a great deal here in Rockaway. Wetlands, over 3,000 acres. Total forest, 20,288 acres. And farmland, 145, so small in this case. You have the Mount Hope Historical Park here. This is the site of the old Richard Mine, so again, more on that theme. Here you see Rockaway Township back in 1930, and in 2007, you can really see that this area remained fairly untouched, and it's, again, it's because of particular constraints, but down here you do see the more developed area continues to these other developed areas. Preservation area lands about nearly two-thirds of the municipality, 61%, and planning area lands nearly 40%. Protection zone primarily, with over 79% of the region, of the municipality. 17.5% is in the existing community, and here there are no conservation zone lands. Highlands Open Water Protection, over half of the municipality. Forest Resource Area, 88%. Conservation Priority Areas, 37%. And they have 6% of that special environmental zone. Here you see the background statistics, land use. Developed lands about a little over 22%, and the rest falling under the natural lands. We're going to take our customary trip over Rockaway Township, and I hope the group there have their safety belts on. They complained about some of our flight patterns earlier.
Can we stop at the mall?
We're going to start at the mall, but no shopping mini. We're moving on. Jack wants us to keep going. He's made it very clear. So we'll see. And again, the colors here, the lighter color shows the planning area of Rockaway, and the darker green, the preservation area. And you can see that the planning area primarily captures those developed lands, and the preservation area, those wide expanses of forested lands. So again, it gives you an idea. And each time you look at these, you can see the very unique characteristics of each of these municipalities. So even though we're all in the Highlands region, each municipality is really different and unique unto itself and its own character. There you have Farney State Park shown there. And as we come around, you'll see, remembering that Rockaway is township is also home to Picatinny. So an area that we're actually working with Picatinny Arsenal on more preserved lands surrounding that, acting as a buffer. The area being very important, coming into it now. It is in the planning area, but very important for the defence of the homeland. Picatinny Arsenal, you can see it there. So that takes you back around that area of the planning area, back to where we started, to Mimi's Mall. So that was Flyover Rockaway. Here, again, staying on theme here, you see the emblem up here from Rockaway Township, again, placed within the Highlands. This is the different zones. Large wildlife management area here. The rest of this color is your protection zone and your existing community shown here. We'll get a little clearer here, and finally taking off the parcel boundaries so you can really see the different zones, protection, wildlife management area, and existing community with the constrained areas also shown. Here you see that forest resource area density mapping, showing you where these lines show you that the forested areas within this area are critical for protection. Lake management areas around some of these lakes and the streams and the wetland complexes, and the watershed values by up to 14, integrity from low, moderate to high. Again, these maps are clearly shown on the wall over there. This one shows you riparian areas, and again, the riparian area integrity by HUC 14, low, moderate, and high. Here you see the steep slopes. This map shows you critical habitat, the vernal pools, and your significant natural areas. Again, these maps are all the purposes of implementation of the land use ordinance. Here you see your prime groundwater recharge areas, karst topography, and wellhead protection areas. This one shows you those special environmental zones, again, from the Act, where no development shall occur. Most critical to protect. This one shows you infrastructure, where you see this purple color. It's where you have domestic sewage facilities and public community water systems. Where you see the blue on its own, it's just the water systems, and here it's sewage facilities. Here you see conservation priority areas, high in this color here, and the considerable preserved lands with that wildlife management area included in Rockaway Township. Here showing your high and moderate preservation priorities. So you can see it's a lot of Rockaway. Moving forward, a history of their plan and their petition. December 8th, they got their petition was submitted, deemed complete, 22nd of January, and posted a few days afterwards on February 1st. The draft consistency report was sent to them in August, and in December posted to the website. The public comment period in this case, we had an extended public comment period because of litigation matters and to afford everybody the opportunity to consider this and get their comments in. They had a lengthy period which started on December 15th of 2010. The final report was posted to the Highlands Council website on February 10th, and that brings you to your meeting today. The photo here is Wildcat Ridge Wildlife Management Area. For purposes of the different modules, modules 1 and 2, the build-out, they were deemed to be consistent. Module 3, Fair Share Plan. When we look at the Fair Share Plan, again, remember, we're only looking at consistency with the Regional Master Plan. We do not approve plans. They were deemed as consistent. When we looked at these plans, we look at them in terms of the land use capability zones, and we also take into consideration prior approvals and the disturbed nature of the sites. And in this case, they were considered to be consistent with the Regional Master Plan. There'll be a little more on this when we get into the comments received. Module 4, the Environmental Resource Inventory, they are consistent. Module 5, Highlands Element, that's that Master Plan element, deemed consistent. Likewise with Module 6, the Highlands Area Land Use Ordinance, again, deemed consistent. And finally, for the modules, the petition submitted was deemed consistent. The public comment period, again, it was an extended one. It went from December 15th and closed January the 18th. Notice was given, as is our norm, to the newspapers as well as on our website. We received comments from Juliet Hirsch for Archer and Greiner, representing Pondview Estates, John Chadwick, as submitted by Juliet Hirsch, again on behalf of Pondview Estates, and Stephen Fursker of Greenbaum, Rowe, Smith & Davis, representing Morris Commons. In terms of the comments received, these comments were received about, this was the litigation I referred to earlier, Pondview Estates. The comment was to advise us that Pondview Estates had not agreed to the alternatives that were proposed in the Fair Share Plan or to any reduction in the approved development capacity. We noted the comment and noted that it is a matter of ongoing litigation involving Pondview and the Township. However, the Highlands Council was required to review both alternatives and determined that those alternatives are consistent with the Highlands Regional Master Plan for the purposes of the approval of plan conformance, which we were required to do. Comment number 2, the only question with regard to the Pondview Estate site is the source of water supply for the affordable housing development. In response to the comment here, and this will be, as a matter of record, this will be put on the website, and none of the objectors are here with us today. But I do want to say that we acknowledge the alternatives to provision of water service to the site. We are doing a consistency determination as required of the application that is before us because there is a major modification to the water allocation pending before the Department of Environmental Protection. We will be doing our consistency determination on that application. On any of the alternative sites, alternative methods, if there is an application, at that point in time, we will also do a consistency determination. At this point in time, it is limited to the application pending before the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. When that is completed, the consistency determination will be sent down to the department, and you will be advised of sale. I think that the same is true of these comments as well. Finally, there were comments received on other sites, the villages at Rockaway, Commons Way 306 and Commons Way 3.07. In the case of these, again, we have looked at these, and the concerns voiced about these that can be taken into consideration approvals, we can take into consideration the land, and they have been deemed to be consistent. Again, this refers to the same thing, the consistency issues with these sites, but again, we're telling you that for purposes of your plan conformance determination of their petition today, we have deemed these sites to be consistent with the Regional Master Plan. same again for these particular sites. In this case, they do particularly refer to the Highlands Open Water Buffer, and informing us that some of the site is previously disturbed. We acknowledge the comment and let them know that this section of the Highlands Land Use Ordinance provides for development within previously disturbed areas of Highlands Open Water Buffers in the planning area. I think this might be the final one, but this again is to do with some more of these affordable housing sites. And we agree to the comment in this case, the provision of infrastructure to the site would not require a consistency determination from the Highlands Council, and that again that we agree that they are consistent with the regional master plan for purposes of plan conformance. And finally, we got a comment from the municipality itself, and that is that they have identified a proposed municipal park project located at block 11101, lot 44. The project has already received permits from the Department of Environmental Protection. The project is located in the planning area. It is a municipal project and as such is not required to receive approvals under the MLUL. Township has requested clarification as to whether plan conformance may limit their ability to develop this project that has already been designed and again has received state approvals. This approval of the petition for plan conformance shall stipulate the advanced status of this project and that as of the date of approval of the Township petition for plan conformance, the project be deemed as having received approvals and therefore qualifies for exclusion from the applicability of the Highlands Council consistency determination or any other impacts on the approval of plan conformance. The adoption of the plans and ordinances associated, therefore, will not apply to this specific project. And that is the norm of how we approach projects that have already existing approvals. We wanted to particularly call it out at the request of the municipality. This brings us to a petition disposition, and it is the staff recommendation that Rockaway's petition be approved with conditions. The conditions are the following. Adoption of the approved checklist ordinance, the planning area petition ordinance as required, the completed environmental resource inventory, Master Plan Highlands element, the Highlands Land Use Ordinance, the updated zoning map, wastewater management plan, as I've stated before, we'll prepare that, compliance with the Fair Housing Act, or Superior Court, and the update, development and implementation of the Water Use and Conservation Management Plan, Stormwater Management Plan updates only, Habitat Conservation and Management Plan, Highlands Redevelopment Area Planning Program, Land Preservation Stewardship Program, Septic System Management and Maintenance Plan, Right to Farm Ordinance, Lake Restoration Management Plan, a Phase 1 Assessment, and a Sustainable Economic Development Plan. Many of these are covered in the Implementation Plan and Schedule and Grant Programs. Looking back at the previous grant programs, the Fair Share Planning Grant, that is complete, and their initial assessment grant is complete. The implementation plan and schedule, the funding is proposed for the following, the Water Use and Conservation Management Plan, the Redevelopment Area Planning, and in all cases, and this refers to all of our grants, the release of the funding is conditioned upon a scope of work which the staff approve. Sustainable Economic Development Plan, Lake Restoration Management Plan, a Phase 1 assessment, and this leads into the development of the Lake Management Plans, and finally the Habitat and Conservation Management Plan, Township serving as lead for that. And finally, that brings us to the Council deliberation on Rockaway Township. This is another one of James Humphrey's towns, so this one and the last one, both his works, we thank him. And, of course, Mr. Chair, you have a large contingent representing Rockaway.
Thank you. Rockaway is a large and significant municipality. You should have a large contingent. Thank you. Having heard the presentation, I will seek a nominal motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
We will now move to discussion on this motion. And Rockaway Township would like to go first. Great.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Greg Hoff, Rockaway Township Business Administrator. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chairman, it's my pleasure to be here today on behalf of Mayor Susie, who, due to schedule conflict, was unable to attend himself. We're very pleased to be before you today, looking for your consideration to approve our conformance documents. It's been a pleasure working with Highlands Council staff and interfacing with our local staff. And while we recognize that there's been a tremendous amount of work that has gone into this process of conformance, I really see it as a new beginning, moving forward now with the actual implementation of those various and numerous items that have been outlined before you today. We recognize that it's a tremendous amount of work, but with your assistance and our commitment, we're certain that we will be able to continue to move forward in a positive direction, protecting the very valuable resources that are contained in Rockaway Township. And we thank you again for your consideration today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any of your colleagues like to come up and speak?
Yeah.
Pat?
As chairman of the Rockaway Township Environmental Commission, we have similar concerns as Wes Milford. Both of us have a lot of water in our townships that go elsewhere. We're also under a water deficit. I think this is an opportunity to partnership. The state has reconvened the Surface Water Quality Management Plan Study Team. I was part of that 9 years ago, and there was no movement from now to now. I would appreciate input or participation from the council on this process. Many of your towns that are all dealing with water deficits, water budgets, this is an opportunity to have input for all your municipalities. So, like I said, West Milford and Rockaway Township have large water supplies that we ship elsewhere. We cannot use the own impoundments in our townships. So I think that's something that the reallocation process needs to be looked at, and I would appreciate your help for us moving forward with that. Thank you.
Just a little aside, have you spoken to the planning department of Morris County in that regard?
Yes, yes. A member from the Morris County Planning Department is going to be part of this group. That our first meeting is going to be February 25th. Okay. And Morris County is involved.
Yes, thank you.
Helen Heinrich again. I wonder if there was any discussion of potential receiving areas for TDR in a pretty good size existing community zone with infrastructure and perhaps some funding could be found through that. And Rockaway Mall could be turned into a mixed-use residential area with, you know, extra floors on top of those stores.
Yeah, you could move in.
Yes. And possibly there'd be some opportunities to sell some development rights on that.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I apologize for your not having seen the coalition up there as a commenter. It was over the holidays. We just lost a staff member. We hadn't got our act together. I do apologize, but I want you to know that we strongly support and commend Rockaway for proposing to conform the entirety of the town. Rockaway has some issues that I believe conformance will really help with, and it may help resolve a lot of things and get them out of the roadblock that they're stuck in. So hopefully this will be an important thing for Rockaway and help them move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Wilma, are you going to weigh in on this one?
I will just endorse what Julia just said. Thank
okay.
you.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I just wonder how much longer you can keep a straight face when you talked about communities who ship water elsewhere and yet are in a water deficit area. It is so ludicrous that it's obvious that the Kool-Aid that you're drinking has really begun to affect you. And I will offer the same offer to Rockaway Township that I've offered to other townships. When the people in the planning area who think they've dodged a bullet because they think this doesn't affect them, when they finally have to deal with septic ordinances and stream restoration ordinances and other things, and they locate the politicians who put them in this predicament, unbeknownst to them, and they invite these politicians to a party, I will bring some more tar and some more feathers. I have an unlimited supply, and I look forward to using it. Thank you.
Maybe you could toast with a glass of Kool-Aid instead of water at that point. Thank you. Seeing no one else, I will move to action on the on the resolution. On the motion.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Lutz?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Acting Chairman Charlie?
Yes. Thank you all. Thank you. Rockaway?
If you'd like to gather your group up, and Jack will take the presentation, and James will come up with us. Yeah, I think we
You did a great job.
Thank you.
Christine's going to sit in the end.
And now the portion of the meeting to which we all look forward so eagerly, opening the meeting to the public on discussion of anything the public wants to talk about relating to the Highlands.
Mr. Chairman, if I might have conversation. May I be excused, sir?
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
Thank you for staying.
You're welcome.
Well done.
Thank you so much.
Because I won't have enough numbers to adjourn, Jim. You understand that?
Make a motion. Just walk out.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Very
have a seat.
Thank you.
Introduce yourself for the record, please.
I'm Fariello, and I'm here on behalf of Wildlife Preserves. And I realize it's not on the agenda, but the Parsippany Troy Hills Highland Plan Conformance and Build-Out Report has some flaws, and I'd like to make some comments today so that when it does come before the council and is on the agenda, that it be corrected and you can vote upon it, the corrected version.
Excuse me. Tom said, okay, it's so premature. The council knows nothing about this at the moment.
Well, I'm going to...
There's no harm in having the comments presented now, and we can research the issue so that when that particular position comes before us...
Okay. As a convenience to the speaker. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. So, again, this is in relation to the Parsippany Troy Hills Highlands Plan Conformance Build-Out Report dated July 2009. Wildlife Preserves own some 1,355 acres in the township of Parsippany Troy Hills, located in Troy Meadows in the Highlands Planning Area Protection Zone. Wildlife began purchasing its land in Troy Meadows in 1952, long before any flood control or wetlands regulations existed. During the early 1960s and 70s administrations of Parsippany, the township was often at odds with Wildlife Preserve because it viewed wildlife as an obstruction to progress and economic development. Against all odds, wildlife retained and protected most of its lands in Troy Meadows, except that it has become diminished and degraded by numerous condemnations, including Route 80, Route 280, Route 280 Access Road, Route 80-280 Interchange, three high-pressure gas lines, three electric transmission lines, and the Parsippany Troy Hills sewer lines, water lines, pump stations, wells, etc. These have all been taken from Wildlife Preserves, what their original land holdings. Also, Wildlife sold and donated at no cost some of its land in Parsippany to the state of New Jersey for preservation as natural areas and wildlife sanctuaries. As a large landholder in Parsippany, Wildlife should have been consulted in the preparation of the Highlands Plan Conformance and Build-Out Report. For the township to prepare and submit the Plan Conformance and Build-Out Report, and the Highlands Council to accept the Plan Conformance Build-Out Report without notifying affected property owners to view and comment at a public hearing is not proper. The Highlands Plan's Conformance Build-Out Report erroneously illustrates all of the lands owned by Wildlife Preserves as environmentally constrained lands and no lots owned by Wildlife Preserves as potentially developable lots. This is a general assumption and factually incorrect. It is inaccurate to illustrate potentially developable lots and environmentally constrained lands by lot lines and lot ownership. These criteria should be based on science, not political boundary lines and tax data. In Troy Meadows, the criteria apparently used to determine potential developable lots is strictly based on ownership. All of Wildlife's vacant land, private lots, all of Wildlife's vacant land, but private lots are illustrated and which are private lots are illustrated as undevelopable, while all other private lots and many lots are located in deep water, in the floodway, and in wetlands are illustrated as developable. Certainly lots exist that are environmentally constrained or potentially developable. However, there are also large vacant lots that contain both. It is inaccurate to simply label entire lots as either one or the other. The designation, potentially developable lots, should be changed to potentially developable lands, and the designation should follow scientific boundaries, not lot boundaries. Determining development potential simply by lot boundaries or ownership is not accurate. The build-out report is flawed and needs to be corrected.
Wildlife's land is privately owned and not permanently preserved. Wildlife is a private, nonprofit conservation corporation. Its lands were purchased with private donations, without grants, without Green Acres funding, without tax dollars. It gave no deeds, it gave no promises, it has no preservation easements or restrictions upon its land, and its land is not permanently preserved. Wildlife's land cannot be considered preserved unless it is acquired in fee or by easement for preservation, or wildlife is compensated for its development rights through the Highlands Transfer of Development Rights Program. For several decades, wildlife paid full municipal property taxes. Wildlife currently provides a public benefit in exchange for tax-exempt status pursuant to New Jersey SA 54-4-3, which is similar to a farmland assessment. Wildlife's land is classified as 15F tax status, open to the public, but not permanently preserved. The current F-15 tax status is temporary preservation. The Green Acres tax-exempt program conveys no ownership rights. It is a three-year program and must be renewed and approved every 3 years. Wildlife owns lots and parts of lots in Troy Meadows that are not environmentally constrained and that are potentially developable. Wildlife owns many areas of land in Troy Meadows that are not environmentally constrained. Many lots were previously cleared, filled, farmed, disturbed, and some that were subdivided, and some that are located and surrounded by residential development. Lands that are disturbed, lots that have previously been subdivided, and lands that have development potential should not be included as environmentally constrained. The Highlands map layer reveals that many acres of wildlife property are upland outside the state wetlands mapping. Although much of Troy Meadows are meadowlands, wildlife owns several upland areas within neighborhoods and along roadways that are well above the floodplain and the wetlands. Some areas are even located on hills and hillsides. Wildlife has no plans to develop its land. However, by listing its land holdings in Troy Meadows as environmentally constrained with no potential developable lots is inaccurate and diminishes the value of the land holdings and makes it easier for condemning authorities to take land for utilities, power lines, pipelines, highways, roads, etc. And I rattled off a list before of all the condemnations that have already occurred in Troy Meadows. Troy Meadows has already greatly been damaged by multiple condemnations, construction activities as a result of condemnations. Two condemning agencies have openly admitted that the nearly free land they took from wildlife reserves was a major incentive for choosing wildlife's land over other properties. Listing wildlife preserves land with no potential development rights and only perpetuates the likelihood of further takings and reduces the chance that the land will ever be available for permanent preservation. Some of wildlife's land is accessible to Parsippany Troy Hills wastewater sewage system. Wildlife was forced to pay sewage assessments for future sewage capacity to connections when a sewer line was installed along Wildlife Preserve's upland road frontage on South Beverick Road to service several large housing developments that were built. Some of wildlife's land is improved with Parsippany sewer pipelines running through its property, especially in the vicinity of Allen Drive, Bennett Court, Marsha Terrace, Troy Meadow Road, and Brookside Court. A New Jersey DEP letter of interpretation is the only true legal criteria that can be used to differentiate between potential development and undevelopable lands. And of course, like I said, if you go on the website of the Highlands, you'll see that even the state has designated only a portion of the lands as wetlands and a lot of the lands as uplands. Wildlife recently surveyed its land with the intention of subdividing its land to delineate wetlands and uplands. Wildlife owns a legally approved, recorded 11-lot subdivision that predates New Jersey Freshwater Wetlands Protection Act. It was improperly merged by the township, and Wildlife is attempting to correct the improper merger. Wildlife, and I personally commented at the Highlands Master Plan hearing
and expressed support for the Highlands Act, with the condition that property owners receive compensation for the development rights of their land to compensate for the loss of property values. So I would ask you to look at our property again, and I think by being on the tax data as F-15, it was misinterpreted that it was privately, that it was public properties, when in fact it's not. So I would ask for a correction on this.
Thank you. Would you like to give a copy of that to?
Yeah, I actually made, I made 8 copies. So
we only need one.
I'll give them to you because I made them. And I also have a letter that was dictated to me from Wildlife Preserves. It's a little different than my comments. I'll give you that.
Given the premature nature of things.
Well, it may be. I just thought it would
be. I think it would be handy to have for reference. For the
thank you.
Anyone else who would like to be heard today, who may not have been heard before? So, let me choose between you. Alphonse? Gaston?
Jean.
He's cuter.
I hope this will be. I was very encouraged by this letter, and I received it from Governor Christie. It says, Dear Mr. Klump, thank you for writing and expressing your concern about the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act. I also enjoyed speaking with you in Clinton at the town hall. I appreciate hearing your thoughts on the issue. As I stated to you, I fully appreciate the importance of the Highlands region and its needs to preserve and protect our water supply. As you know, the Act was signed in 2004, both to preserve New Jersey open space and protect our drinking water. However, promises made during the execution of the Act simply were not kept to the residents of that region. I sympathize with you and many others whose property rights were taken from them and have not yet received the compensation they were promised. We need to reach a system in which property owners are either justly compensated or given back the property rights with which they are entitled to before the Act. Please be assured that I have recently presented new nominations to the Highlands Council who share our vision and will work to pursue the intent and promise of the Highlands Act. We're working every single day to reform our government and right the wrongs of yesteryear, and this area is no exception. Again, thank you for writing on this issue. Very best wishes, Governor Christie. I would, a lobbyist of one person, if anybody wants to get down to the legislature and hear from the horse's mouth about the compensation, I'd be only too happy to make myself available to get down there with any of us. I mean, if you have the opportunity, sometimes a face on something means something more than the words. And you can also bring my sign with me, but I don't know whether it is. But if there is an opportunity, I'd be only too glad to go. I'll make every effort to make it or whatever. But it's the legislation, and we have a problem. So anything where you can help me, and again, I've lost everything, so anything that I can do to help somebody else, like this young fellow here that just spoke, is he still here? He's Johnny come lately, you know what I mean? But, it happens, and it's the worst part is, even in the farming business, before this act came along, we were too busy. We didn't have time to do this. I mean, I'm not a lobbyist, so I'm not paid to be here. When I'm here, something stops on the farm. I'm there, that's my job. But, there's a big difference. And, again, I'll be a lobbyist of one person to get down there for that find some funding. You know, because Smith, when he said this thing, it was McCune and Smith. They said, oh, no, no problem, because I had gone down to the meeting, and McNamara, I think, was there. There was a few other ones that spoke, and they spoke about the funding. So, oh, no, no, we're going to take care of this. And with that, everybody went along with it, which all sounded great. But 7 years, it's a long time. Thanks again. I appreciate that. And I hope this will help you, you know, so. And it's up to the legislature to put these peoples through. You know what I mean? So if I could help on that, I'd be only too happy to do that, too. So thanks again. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Frank.
Yes, sir.
David Chope. I'm a farm and live in a township. Many years ago, when John Weingart was sitting where you are now, and you were sitting next to him, the problems of the Highland Act became apparent to the council as it existed at that time. And they seemed really thorny and very difficult to deal with. And somebody suggested, I think it may have been Weingart, sending it back to the legislature. And you, Mr. Schreier, said, if we send it back to the legislature, it will be its death knell. And I agree with that. If it would have been sent back to the legislature for them to take another look at it, they would have killed it. It should have been stillborn in the first place. So maybe you want to consider the fact that the state has no money. It has a TDR program that's basically flailing. You have to have a hardship or some other phony, undefined reason to be accepted by it. It has not even filled the bucket with one drop. So I'd say the TDR program, aside from it being $7 million short of running out of money, so the TDR program is nothing more than pathetic window dressing. So the idea of sending it back to the legislature is a good one. They created this monstrosity. Let them try and straighten it out. Buck up. Do your job. And your job is not to continue to have us twisting in the wind, but to address our issues. February 4th, there was a New Jersey Water Supply Authority meeting where they considered continuing to sell water at cost, which is what the New Jersey Water Supply Authority does, to 11 golf courses and two very large for-profit water companies. They elected to continue to sell water for $231 a million gallons, as they have done for the past 4 years. I objected, and I've written a letter, which I'll give to you and give to whoever else wants one. It's going to be run in the papers. I understand it's in the Express Times today, where I advocate an additional $50 per million gallons for exclusively to be used for watershed land preservation. So that will be that. And I think I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. It's a good note to leave it at, because clearly you and I and the Highlands Council is in agreement on imposing some sort of a compensation mechanism.
Well, let me just add that I didn't see anyone there. I invited those who think it's all about water sitting over there. They were not there, nor was anyone from the Highlands Council.
Seeing no one else, I will.
I
have a motion and a second on adjournment. Do I have a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We're done. Thank you.